Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Now, it is that time of year again. Well, slightly past it, where we're all making lofty promises to ourselves about how we're going to undo a lifetime of bad habits and become better, virtuous people. But this year is different. The pandemic means that we can be a bit easier on ourselves, or can we? So instead of pretending we're all doing hill runs at 5 a.m. or eating an entire head of lettuce per day, our good pal Africa O'Connell is here to take a look at some of the weirder New Year's resolutions that have been made throughout history. I mean, like, just before you get into it, Africa, I presume, yeah. Where are we now? Just look at me watch. It's the 9th of January. If anybody out there has had a New Year's resolution and they're either keeping it up right now, let us know, or they've broken it already on 51552. I'd be very interested to know what your New Year's resolution was. But, Afric, yeah. Are you a New Year's resolution type person?
Well, like everyone else, it's the 9th of January, which means we're well into the week where things will be dropped like a hot potato, because I start every single year thinking I'm going to completely undo a lifetime of bad behaviour and sort of, I'm going to become like, going to get that Silicon Valley billionaire mindset where you're like up at 4 a.m. and you're doing, you know, training and you're doing sea swimming and all this kind of thing. What up until this point has made me think that I might be able to do that is something that I'm not sure of. But it's the grimmest time of the year, so I don't know why we do it to ourselves. Why don't we wait till summertime
to make these promises
to ourselves?
Because things are going well in the summertime, generally speaking. You're feeling a little bit better.
Yeah.
And if you try to achieve something earlier on in the year, then maybe you will feel a little bit better about yourself than being completely post-Christmas double miserable in 2020.
That's probably what it is, because you do come out of Christmas feeling like a slug a lot of the time, you know, having just sat completely still for 2 weeks. You know what I mean? Not moving, just eating, just doing that. And you want to get rid of that. So I'd say that's why people go for the New Year's resolution. The number ticks over and you think you're going to change your entire life. It rarely happens.
And if gyms were open, they would have masses of people in there spinning today, and they'd probably be all gone by the end of February.
Exactly.
How long have you managed to keep a resolution that you've had? How long have you managed to keep it up?
Well, a few years ago, I took a notion and I decided that I was going to do like early morning like training, do you know what I mean, like fitness training or whatever. So I did it twice or three times a week for nearly a year at 7 a.m. and I used to come into work afterwards, and now I don't even recognise that person as myself, if you know what I mean. So it was really strong and really miserable.
But were you not really proud of yourself? And did it have an effect on your life?
The smugness only lasts for, smugness can only take you so far. Do you know what I mean? I used to feel smug, but then when you kind of try to go to the toilet and you couldn't, your legs are too sore.
But surely it was like, you know, if you're going to do that for a year, you must have got a result from the whole thing, did you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And it was great. But then, sure, the weather, you get, that's the problem. One bad night comes along, like it's raining, or you had a late night the night before or something like that, and you don't quite make it the next morning, and then suddenly all bets are off. It's downhill kind of spiral. Do you know what I mean?
I certainly do.
Relatable.
I've never made a New Year's resolution in my life. Ever.
Have you not?
No, just broad kind of things. Be nicer.
Yeah.
You know, be kind.
That's, I hadn't noticed.
All that kind of stuff. No, I know. That's why they never worked. But look, how long have been New Year's resolutions been around? I presume they're not around since the dawn of time.
No, they're not around since the dawn of time. It's a fairly modern concept in terms of like the entire span of time. But historians track it back to about the 17th century. But even in that brief period of time, people have been making, you know, very bizarre resolutions, and sort of, and some of the best ones throughout history
give us an idea of some of the ones, like some well known people who've you know looked at the New Year as a time of renewal.
So Queen Elizabeth I, right, very famous, loads of films made about her. Kate Blanchett, if you're confused as to who might have played her or whatever, she's monarch of England. She had a huge hand in the development of women's fashion and stuff like that. But one of the traditions, one of her biggest influences, came from a New Year's mistake, which was for courtiers. It became a trend for courtiers to give gifts at the New Year to the Queen. And one of her courtiers gave a fan 1 year, and she was delighted with it. And of course, it became a thing then where she got a fan every year for the rest of her life. And she used to have them in paintings and all this kind of thing. So it became the thing that a fan was her New Year's thing that she'd bring into every year with her. She'd have a new fan. But it's like when you mention something to one of your parents, like when you mention that you like something once and you receive a gift of that for every year for the rest of your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's hardly a 25k run.
No.
No. It's a fan.
It's a bejeweled fan.
She's got a fan herself on the 1st of January.
Yeah, exactly. That she was kind of, they were very, it was a sign of wealth and it was a sign of like prosperity and stuff like that. So the more the better, the more the merrier.
And one of the great diarists that wants to cut down on culture. What's that all about?
So Samuel Pepys was the great diarist, and he wrote on New Year's Day in 1661. He had some very weird ideas about what he was going to do in the upcoming year, but like this kind of to modern sensibilities or whatever. In 1662, he vowed he would mark an end to spendthrift ways. He was spending too much money. He said it'd also be the year he would find a wife for his brother. Are you worried about finding a wife for your siblings? I don't know.
No, they've got them already.
Yeah, exactly. So you don't need to worry about it. But I don't know why that would. I don't know why that would preoccupy you, finding a wife for your sibling. But there you go. And he said he would hopefully maintain but his and his wife's health. But he also made a solemn vow about abstaining from plays and wine. So it's basically just dry January.
Abstaining from plays and wine.
Plays and wine. Because he was out and about, going to the theatre, drinking too much, getting hungover. He was ahead of the curve, and this is a dry January. This is what we call it now, dry January, and no fun. Yeah, exactly. So Samuel Pepys was way ahead of the curve in 1661. So that's one of the first ones, I'd say.
What about Jonathan Swift?
Jonathan Swift of Gulliver's Travels fame. He was a satirist, and he went on to write Gulliver's Travels, but he penned a famous list of resolutions for his future in 1669 when he was 32. In the list, he said he warned his future self not to be peevish or morose or suspicious. That's like your New Year's resolution.
That's all a bit broad.
Hashtag be kind.
It's a bit, yeah.
You know?
Be nice. Like.
He said that he was going to marry a young woman. Lovely.
Right.
He said neglect decency. He wouldn't neglect decency or cleanliness for fear of falling into nastiness. And in the midst of this, he said the most notable one was he wasn't going to be fond of children or let them come near me, hardly. He vowed to hate children.
Hating children is strong, but I kind of understand him having two young boys myself.
I can imagine now that the schools are closed as well.
Did he ever have kids himself?
He never did. He never actually went on to have children. So the New Year's resolution
sort of stuck with that one.
That stuck. Yeah, exactly. Which
Ina
is unusual itself.
Ina Blyton wasn't a big fan of kids either, was she? Ina Blyton. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're right. I've heard that before.
She wasn't a big fan. I saw a film with her. I think it was Helena Bonham Carter was doing Ina Blyton. And she wasn't the fondest of kids. Great books for kids nonetheless, though.
Yeah.
I believe.
It's because you don't even need the experience. That's the thing. You just don't write what you know. I don't think so.
Yeah. And what's this about someone who wanted world domination?
Yeah. So this is Cambridge mathematician Godfrey Hardy. And he was one of the most brilliant minds of the 20th century. He wrote a famous list of resolutions as well. But it was around sometime in the 1930s. And he didn't aim low. He said that he wanted to, one, prove the Riemann hypothesis, which is fine for a mathematician, very good. He said make 211 not out on the fourth innings of the last test match at the Oval. He's a cricket fan. And he said find an argument for the non-existence of God which would convince the general public. So he hasn't quite stuck to that either.
He didn't succeed on that one.
He didn't succeed. And four, he said be the first man on top of Mount Everest. Five, be proclaimed the first president of the USSR, Great Britain and Germany. And number six, murder Mussolini.
Right. And he achieved none of them.
Well, it doesn't seem to be because he hasn't found an argument to disprove the existence of God, which the general public will buy. I don't think he murdered Mussolini. I don't think he was ever president of the USSR, Great Britain and Germany simultaneously. So it's a bit of a failure. But I can relate to that.
Yeah, maybe he's got something there. Just aim so high.
Low expectations are the key to happiness. That is.
And Totally.
100%,
it is.
Isn't it?
I totally agree.
Aim keep low, you'll never be disappointed.
Low, always have no ambition. Keep everything. Expect very little.
Expect little.
And everything then is a bonus.
That's it,
in life.
A bonus. That's
this
what you
is
want.
Great philosophical chat here. Samuel Beckett, what was the story with him?
Samuel Beckett, he had the right approach in 1984. So if you're going to ask someone like Samuel Beckett, who was a famously nihilistic writer, to contribute to your newspaper, you deserve what you get, basically. So the Times learned that to their cost in 1984 when they asked Samuel to contribute his own resolutions for the new year. And they received a now famous telegram from him, which went, resolutions, colon, zero, stop, period. Hopes, colon, zero, stop, Beckett.
I think I'll stick with the couch to 5K.
I like that. Aim low couch and you'll never be disappointed, isn't it?
Afrik, thanks a million for
You're
joining
welcome.
Me.
You're welcome.
Happy New Year
happy
to
new
you.
Happy New Year to you.
Weekends on 2FM. 2.